Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 166. This week we are joined by a very special group of people.
Very special group of people.
Okay, apparently Dan wants to go first, so we have Dan.
I'm the most special, so I'm going first.
Then we have Justin.
Oh god.
That was real, that was fake.
I don't even care.
That was the bear in the background. You're about to die rip, Justin.
No, Mr. Bear, I gave you all the honey I had.
That just sounds dirty. And we have Dan.
We're off to such a good start.
I know, and the thing is, we wasted 10 minutes before we started to get the stupid out.
Hey, one of those days. I told you what to expect from me. This isn't my fault.
So yes, this week we are going to talk about mobile games, partially because I think mobile games don't get talked about enough by people, other than when people want to complain about what mobile games are doing to the industry.
It's funny because I just talked about mobile games, sort of, in my class that just got out about an hour ago. So I am primed and ready, and speaking as somebody who is in the games industry and is like working towards a major in gaming, we talk about mobile games a lot, actually, just because it's like the quote-unquote future of gaming. So it's talked about, just not.
So a wrestler died today, as I'm just now learning.
Well, yesterday, Ultimate Warrior.
Oh.
But that was a weird tangent.
Sorry, I just saw it on my Facebook feed and like figured it's weird that y'all didn't do a podcast about that. But considering how into wrestling you are, and I've just derailed the show already. I'm sorry. I'll close Facebook.
Supposed to say somebody's dead. Like he's. That sounds really morbid and terrible.
I should have started the show off with that. That would have been much
you just
better.
Set the tone for the whole podcast. Now we got to talk about just death and mobile games.
Well, we are talking about mobile games.
And we are talking about the same.
Shots
is death.
Fired.
That is death to some people. But
yeah.
I actually want to follow up with Dan a bit more. Like, what does... Like, what is
really?
What are we talking about? He was talking about his cast, talking about mobile games. So I'm curious what type of angle they take with that.
Well, today in class we talked about monetization in games and how to, like, build games around it and whatnot. So, like, it was a pretty big topic today because mobile games are pretty interesting as far as how they're monetized and, like, how they're kind of changing the industry because of the way they're monetized, too. Like, the industry's changing on its own anyway because, it's just not able to sustain AAA quality games at the same level that they're putting them out. So, like, you have a $60 game and you just have a way bigger overhead now than compared to, like, 10 years ago when you still had a $60 game but a smaller overhead. So you're not making as much money, which is why you see a lot of games, like, crumbling and new IPs aren't making it successfully. And, like, that's a part of the reason, but another part of the reason is that mobile games that you can sell for, like, $2 are a lot easier to sell to the public, and they will sell. And you can still, like, make a smaller game for that much money, but it'll sell so many more copies. So it's, like, the difference between, I guess, your overhead and how much manpower and work you're putting into it versus, like, how much you can milk the content out of it, in a way.
Mobile gaming is the death of AAA gaming because all the casuals will play Flappy Bird and Angry Birds and do all the microtransactions.
Hi, I'm Sam, and this is my report on mobile games. So we're doing this play with the Candy Crush Saga, and
I am currently playing Candy Crush Saga.
I was trying to.
I'm gonna kick you.
but I mean, going back to Dan's point, which you two really just skipped over.
Yeah, I thought that joke was gonna go somewhere, and it just did not take off.
I was just making fun of people who talk like that.
And there are people, but I think the two issues are separate. I think the depth of AAA gaming, if you want to call it that, is something that's more related to AAA gaming. It's just you're raising the price and there's nobody there to buy it. So you're continuing to raise this price, but the consumers who are looking to purchase those types of games aren't there. So instead of trying to scale back and make it so that you can sell 4 or 5 million and break even, you have people who are aiming for 10, 15 million and who don't make that much when their games.
Definitely a big part of it, but at the same time, there's a big part of there's like a stagnation of the price of games. Like, we're only just now seeing a possibility of like AAA disc games, which are now known as like $60 games, possibly breaking into $70, but beyond that, they've stagnated at like $50 or $60 for the past like 10 plus years. So like we're seeing a big stagnation as far as like how much you're paying the company to make this game and then how much the company's making off of that, because they have so many more people now, the technology is harder to like harness and more expensive. You've got tons of overhead for the same price of a game. So like it would be feasible if it was the same sort of overhead as 10 years ago, but it's not, because you're charging the same amount for what should be charged more.
Yeah, but you can't, if you should charge more, I'm sure people would, and people are trying to find ways around that.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem is, like, it's a hard sell as it is to get people to buy $60 games. Like, right now, it's not, like, you know, like, video games are a big industry, but if you look at the retail model, there are a lot of games that are, I guess in the grand scheme of things, niche. Like, if you sell 2-3 million in a population of billions, that's a very small percentage of the people who are playing video games.
Right.
Or people understand it. But yeah, I mean, you look at something like Angry Birds, for example. I know when they were showing, you know, talking about that, they were talking about the fact that this game been downloaded, I think, like 100 million times.
Yep.
And they may not make money from that, but that's a much wider percentage than a lot of AAA games sell to at $60. So if you can increase the price, which a lot of people probably won't go for, because video games are still seen as they're seen as a want, not a need.
Right. And I mean, it's the same problem really as the decreased price of mobile games. Like in the example I gave where AAA games should be charging more for their games, it's a problem because if you do charge, you're maybe going to make that much money to compensate for your overhead. But at the same time, you're dealing with a wider spread outside of your impulse buy sort of niche that $60 games have, and even like $40 3DS and Vita games have. So you're getting away from that sort of like impulse buy price, and you're even getting away from the fact that like I can go on my iPod and buy 15 or more games for that same price of $70, basically. So like you kind of, it's a hard bargain, because you want to scale the price down so you can deal with that sort of niche of like free to play or freemium or whatnot and in-game transactions and stuff. But you also are tempted to just say, buy the AAA game one price and make it like $80 or something like that.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is like those AAA games are now also including these freemium options as well.
Right.
Which is another problem, because I feel like they shouldn't be used in multiplayer games at all. I kind of like it where Mass Effect 3 did it, where you can use like their experience credits, like their in-game credits, or you have the option of using in-game currency, or like using real-life currency. That's fine, but I'm not a fan of like having it be just straight-up real-life currency.
Or pay-to-win. I mean, pay-to-win in multiplayer games is bad. Pay-to-win in a single-player, sure, do it as much as you want. Who cares?
Right. God, there was one game that did that was really bad. It just came out. It came out recently. It was a console game. I want to say it was...
Probably one of the racing games.
I think it was Forza, where they unlocked specific cars and you had to pay like $10 for a pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like stuff like that is not cool. But if it's stuff like Mass Effect or Dead Space, where it's like you just get in-game credits and you can pay, and you have the option to pay for it with those credits or real life money, then that's totally fine with me.
Well, it's fine in theory, except for a lot of those games, and I could be mistaken. I think Dead Space was in this. I didn't play this, but whatever. A lot of games just make it difficult for you to gain that in-game currency and kind of force you to use real money.
Dead Space 3 straight up sold you things. There were things you could not unlock unless you paid for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't reach that far into Dead Space 3 to actually.
Also,
like,
it started out promising and ended horribly.
The game or the pricing?
Both, probably, but the game.
Okay. And part of the reason I bring that up is because it's a much easier sell on the mobile device when, like Dan says, you can get a lot of games for free or you can get a lot of games for a buck or two. It's a lot easier to drop more money on that when the entry cost is low than having us pay $60-$70 and then asking for money on top of that.
Yeah.
So, in theory, DLC should work, but again, people abuse that system. But, you know, kind of switching the focus more to the mobile scene and stuff like that. Are there any games that you folks check out, or it's okay? I guess I want to start backwards at the very not the beginning, but Facebook games. I think was where this where you took off, especially with the social aspect of your friends asking for damn things on Facebook.
Yeah.
That in and of itself has managed to successfully turn me away from Facebook games, like any Facebook game.
Mm-hmm. I played You Don't Know Jack for a little while on Facebook, and that was actually pretty cool. But
that's because it's You Don't Know Jack.
Yeah. It was my favorite version of You Don't Know Jack because it's the one that I can actually convince my friends to play. Because otherwise I have to have a bunch of friends over and say, hey, there's this fun trivia video game that we can play on my computer with four of us. And they're like, we'll be in the other room drinking. You have fun. Okay.
I prefer seeing it, but...
Yeah, right. There are always better ways to do it. So. Right, I mean, that was cool, but that's the only Facebook game that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, and I think a lot of I think we'll get into this with mobile, especially I'm big into this. Anything that's kind of asynchronous, where you can play with friends, but you don't necessarily need to play with friends right then and there.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of on different schedules, so you can... a big one, and I guess this is kind of cross, it's like Words with Friends is a game I play a lot. And this is because you can play... Well, it's the same account across your phone and your Facebook account, if you sign in that way. So, you know, I can play with my friends on the go, and I can go today, they can go 3 days from now. Some cases, they wait until they... I think you have 10 days to go before the person forfeits. They'll wait until the 9th day to go. Whatever. But it's just like you can continue the game without being like, okay, we have to put aside 30 minutes today to play this game.
Is Words with Friends still, like, a thing? Or did that just sort of die?
It died right after a bunch of people spent money to get sponsored words into it.
Okay,
after a while, your words would be like McDonald's and Coca-Cola. And
Because I swear for the longest time it was a big thing, and I think they were even planning to do, like, a TV show or something with it. And then it just sort of vanished from everybody's mind.
Well, I think this is something we'll get into in a bit, but that is a huge part of mobile gaming. You're the hot thing, and then you're not, and that's pretty much your lifespan.
Yeah.
I think the only one that has shown any type of longevity, and I have no idea why, is Angry Birds. Because there was Draw Something was a big thing like 2 years ago.
To be fair, Candy Crush has surpassed Angry Birds now in just existence.
Candy Crush is like a 6.
I could be mistaken. Outside of they agreed, Candy Crush is a popular game, but it doesn't seem like it's a very marketable game. Like, I don't see anything related to Candy Crush.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Because the company that makes Angry Birds is, like, they're master marketers. That's, like, their thing. So that's
right.
Why they've been able to sell.
They're fantastic at that.
Exactly. That's why they've been able to sell Angry Birds for what it is so well, and
that's
then into new markets even.
I mean, Candy Crush makes multi-million dollars a day just by existing.
Yeah.
Doing nothing. So I'm looking at the top grossing apps and Candy Crushes. I guess number two. I didn't know Clash of Clans made that much money.
Oh, Clash of Clans.
Really?
I think it's the highest revenue. Tencent, I think that's the name of the company. It's like they generate the highest revenue of any gaming company.
I keep seeing commercials for it. It does not have... I think you guys played it. Because I keep seeing commercials for it. It doesn't look good.
I have a bunch of friends that play it all the time. And my friend's really into it. And he actually is knowledgeable about video games and stuff. So
Is this supposed to be like a tower defense game? Or
It's like a... From what I understand, it's like a real-time strategy game converted to work on mobile. So it's asynchronous real-time strategy on mobile. So like... Or I say asynchronous. You get a notification when you're being attacked by someone.
Okay.
You have to log
so like
your base.
Push notifications.
Is it single player or multiplayer? Or?
It's everybody's connected. It's like an... It's all multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah, which is an advantage of having a mobile game on a phone is that you can always be connected to the internet in some way or another, and you know that everybody who downloads your game has some type of internet connection.
Yeah.
True.
That is a blessing and a curse when you wake up in the morning and you have, like, 10 notifications on your phone.
Sure.
It's like, my castle's under attack. Wait, what? It's like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, because another big one that I started to play and I really don't care much for was Puzzles and Dragons.
Oh, God. That one is like a master of just raking in the money because of the monetization they have in-game for it.
Which one?
I'm not actually familiar with how it works, but we talked about that in class last semester, and apparently like they have really sneaky ways to do it and like really intense ways. And it's a foreign game, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like it's from Korea?
Yeah, something like that.
So like they're already just masters of how to just milk money out of people, and they already have like bundles that are like $4,000 that the Korean people will just buy because that's just the culture.
Yeah. I actually, there's a, and this is something you get into with mobile games, there's a clone of it with the Marvel license. Marvel, I think it's Avengers Alliance. I think that's the one. And that's pretty much Puzzles and Dragons with Marvel characters, so I prefer that one.
Do you guys play any, like, console games that were, I guess, ported over to mobile? Like XCOM or, what was it, like Heroes of Dragon Age?
In my experience, I prefer any mobile game that does not try to mimic a console game. The instant you try to have me use like a virtual D-pad or analog stick and buttons, that's when it goes to hell for me.
Yeah, and when I do buy like actual console games, I never really feel like playing them. I've had Grand Theft Auto, I think, 3 on my phone for ages, and I downloaded Knights of the Old Republic because I thought, hey, I like that game, but I never find myself with A, the time, and B, the battery life to just sit there and play those types of games all the time.
These games suck up. These games do, like, all games do suck up your battery like crazy mad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I swear I played Angry Bird for, like, 10 minutes, and I was at, like, 75% by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that usually is, like, they assume that people are always near a charge, and in this day and age, most people are. Between home and work, and some people now have, like, portable charges, so it's, you know, it's always vital. Charge it. The thing is, like, most of these games aren't that graphically intense either.
They're not. I keep wondering, like, why do they take so much strain on my battery?
Right.
It's a little bit of its relative also.
Oh, like Skype takes all the strain on my battery. I don't know what kind of phone you have, but
I'm still at 97%, and this has been unplugged for like 20 minutes.
Sometimes, as far as like draining battery goes, it'll be like a lot of back end stuff. They'll like basically put your game in like a high power mode, and so it'll say that you're at that low battery, but then it'll kind of raise it up a little bit because you're not actually using that. It'll just like anticipate using that much, as far as I understand how the hardware works, at least.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it like that.
I guess in the same vein of Sam's question, are there any, I guess, franchises that were kind of console games that you play on your mobile device? Like, there are some that make the jump and try to transition into that. I know, for instance, I know Rayman Run, I think that was the name of it, or Rayman Fiesta was a big one.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people play The Walking Dead on their phones or iPads.
That makes
that
sense.
That went to iPhone?
Yeah, I think it originally released on iPhone. Like, I think that's one of the places it first came, not first, but along with everything else came out on.
Okay. I didn't know that. I played a little bit of Rayman. I haven't in a while. It's pretty fun. And
what the hell was that?
My favorite mobile game. I was trying to get to that the past like 10 minutes. Sorry, it was so loud. I had my volume on. I was wondering why it wasn't working. That was the end of Peggle. I probably should have saved that for a more appropriate moment.
The podcast. Peggle.
But
good lord.
I do have Peggle though. Peggle's awesome.
Peggle.
I know. I was gonna say. Should have even.
Have you guys played like any of the Final Fantasy games on?
You could just stop there.
All right, never mind.
I will say this. I think traditional turn-based RPGs are fine for mobile devices just because you don't really need much direct control. It's easier to pick attacks with a touch screen than anything, so that's not a problem.
Yeah, that's why XCOM works well.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with it is, I could be mistaken, didn't some of them, they kind of give them like a new graphical sheen that just looks really ugly?
Yeah, that's arguably, I mean, that's like subjective, but yeah.
It is subjective, but...
But yes.
Yeah. What else? So I have Sonic Dash, which is...
That's crap.
Yeah, there are three types of... There's really three types of mobile games I play. There's games with friends. There's Endless Runners, which there are a ton of.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are Match 3, which is like Bejeweled, which is like...
So bad ones you hate and ones that just kill time?
Pretty much. I mobile gaming to me, and I assume this is different for you folks, is basically stuff I can play on my train ride. If I get a seat, I can go 10 minutes.
Accurate, yeah. But I usually, the way I find mobile games is it'll be what everybody else is talking about on Twitter. Like, that's the way I discover my game. So if other people talk about it, like, for instance, Super Hexagon is amazing. Hexagon. I love this game. But it's a perfect mobile game because the average... The average game time is about... I actually didn't get into threes because I don't like...
It's like 8 seconds.
Play games. Threes take... Yeah. Super Hexagon, your average life is maybe 12 seconds or a good run's a minute, but a minute's like a godly run. And that is the perfect amount of time. Yeah, that's the perfect amount of time for me to sit there and play a game for 45 minutes in my room straight on accident. it's the same way I watch TV shows. I watch 20-minute TV shows, but I will watch 5 of them in a row or like 7 of them in a row. But I hate to sit down and watch a movie.
Yeah, I have that same problem. I will be like, I don't want to like watching a movie take 2 hours. I'll just watch a show. And I end up watching more of a show than I would a movie, but it's much easier to digest because you can stop after the next episode. Okay, one more. I'm going to dedicate 2.5 hours to this one movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why my brain hates that. I'm getting that way with hour-long TV shows, too, and I hate myself for it.
I think it's just a mental thing where you're just like, okay, you know what, this is just time-consuming. But then you're like, oh, I still have time, so I can watch some. I can continue on or something like that. Instead of, it's much easier than when you think you have to dedicate that much time, and you're like, I don't have that time to dedicate, then you actually end up doing that.
Yeah. Though it's worse when it shows you've already seen. Like, I started watching Futurama again lately, figuring I'd just watch it here and there, and I'm already, like, 5 seasons into it in a span of a week.
Well, that's the sign of a good show. I did that with 24. I think I watched, like, the first 4 seasons again in, like, I think a week.
What show? Sorry,
What, 24?
Oh, yeah. They're my good shows that people forget about. I love 24.
No one's forgotten about 24.
You know what? But nobody watches it anymore. Because
it's not on TV.
Because it's over.
Well, I mean, it's coming back. It's coming back next month. But
yeah,
it's a stupid thing to say.
It was a stupid thing to say. It's been a long day.
But there are shows.
Yeah. I remember watching that one, and I watched it through Blockbuster Rentals. Streaming was much of a thing.
So I'd go rent
like 4 episodes at a time through Blockbuster Rentals and just finish that in a week. That was the first big TV show that I got into.
Yeah,
you guys hear a fun story about Blockbuster?
No.
So it was like, what, whatever Marvel...
No, I want to hear more of my shitty stories as I talk over you. All right, go on.
So my friend and I...
That was perfect timing.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank God the window's open. Okay, so keep this in. Keep this in, Earl. All right.
I quit.
So my friend and I, we went to Blockbuster to rent Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1. And it took us like 10 minutes because it was cold out. We were stupid. We decided to wear shorts. So we get back to my house. It's the Xbox version, and we had a PS2.
Did you try to put it in the PS2 anyway?
No,
because that's something I did when I was a kid.
No, we went right back, and they gave it to us no problem without like charging us extra.
Hmm.
That's why they went out of business.
Yep.
Well, they went out of business for a lot of reasons.
Good business practices.
Not adapting to the market. Oh, Blockbuster does not have good business practices. Didn't when it was unpopular either. The fact that they used to charge you a late fee for being like 10 minutes late was insane.
Oh God, that was the worst.
And they never adapted. It took them forever to even get kind of that Dropbox that they have now that libraries do and Redbox has. But this isn't a movie discussion or in businesses.
Sorry.
We're here all day. I guess that is part of the thing with mobile games is kind of learning about adapting because mobile game is the adaptation. It is what people do to survive. We've seen, I think the count was over 100 companies that have closed down in the past, let's say decade as far as the console space goes, and a lot of those developers kind of go back into the mobile space because you don't need to sell as much to make it big. You don't actually need to sell. You just need to find some type of either ad revenue or...
I disagree with that. I think the mobile space has become crowded enough to where it's not necessarily easy anymore to do.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's easier to fail in the mobile space than it is to fail in the retail space. Like, you can make a game that OE effect. I hate this term, but one of the big things about mobile game is what they call whales, which are the people who kind of support the free-to-play model. you only need maybe 100 people to do that for your game to make it big. You don't need thousands and thousands of people. Look at Flappy Bird, which at its peak was making, what was it, a couple of hundred thousand?
Was it like, was it 500,000? Is that right?
Something like that, a day. And that was probably for like a week.
Yeah.
Flappy Bird.
I still have Flappy Bird on my phone. Don't play it, but I still have it.
Well, it's coming back, isn't it?
Well, I mean, there's enough clones. I said, I mean, it's easier if you
isn't
have
a head. Flappy Bird MMO?
I don't. There's a.
I swear I heard that.
No, there's a Flappy Bird. It's not from the vibe of Flappy Bird, but there is a Flappy Bird.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, after Flappy Bird, like, quote unquote, died, there were a bunch of clones.
There's still gonna be a bunch of clones.
Well, yeah.
Well, I was going to say that's a big part of the mobile game scene, especially if you ever go to a store and just kind of try to search for something. Like, usually you'll get a bunch of stuff that is just like it, but not exactly.
Right.
Or Android, you'll get, like, one of the games I don't think we have on Android yet is Ridiculous Fishing, which I keep on hearing great things about.
Sorry, my Chinese food arrived in the middle of that conversation.
Thank you for keeping us updated on your food situation.
Yeah, no problem. That's what I'm here for. The food podcast, right?
Yes, we'll have that foodie discussion some other time. But if you go and search for popular games, you usually find dozens of games that are similar to that. And there's really no work. I mean, you find that in the console space, but it's not easy to do it as quickly as they do it in the mobile space.
Like when it's not as irritating either.
I think it's not as efficient either.
Yeah, people don't really just impulse buy console games, do they? Or downloadable games. Without knowing about them first, usually.
Well, I mean, I think there's a segment of the population that does that, but, you know, a lot of the games, because we get, you know, CMPDs, we see Media Crates, and a lot of the games are the big ones that people talk about. You usually don't get surprised by a game that does well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's like how much do those people who make those knockoff games really care. Like, I had a friend who worked on a Punch-Out clone on the Wii that I never knew existed. I started to work with him, and he showed it to me, and this looks like Punch-Out. Like, this is like the most generic version of Punch-Out, but it has the same type of cover and the same type of character design. So somebody who doesn't know might go to the store and be like, oh, this looks interesting, check it out.
Yeah, sometimes that's all it takes is if you just have an unknown market, I guess.
No!
I mean,
welcome to the popularity of 2048 and
1024. Yeah, exactly. And those work because they are free, where you have to pay, I think it's $2 for three.
Yeah, yep.
I was going to say, if you wanted to jump back to the movie market, for instance, Asylum Films is a big proponent of this, where they make knockoff films of very popular stuff so that you could go and rent them. Like, you go to Redbox and you'll see, like, oh, Antic Rim. Oh, is this the new Pacific Rim already? And you'll rent it. It isn't, but they've made their money because you've already rented them.
God, that's the one thing that I hate the weigh-ins for, is that they started that crap.
I guess in a way.
Well, I mean, they did with, like, Scary Movie, and then now it's, like, the Hunger Games and all that jazz.
They just did that because they captured a parody satire market that was essentially untapped. They're just, I mean, like, you do it in skits like SNL all the time, but you're taking something that's pop culturally relevant, and you're making fun of it, and people are going to see it and talk about it because it's relevant.
Right. Here's a good unrelated question. What's the last parody movie that ends, not necessarily the ends movie, but, you know, from that same genre? Is it all one studio, by the way? It's like Scary Movie and Meet the Spartans and stuff like that?
Yeah, they're owned by Fox.
Okay, but what's the last one of those movies you saw in theaters?
In theaters?
Yes. One I, of those films, specifically?
Yes.
That's one I saw.
Any, but that specific type.
With Scary Movie.
I think it was a superhero movie for me.
I don't remember superhero movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was the one with Josh Bell.
Drake Bell.
Okay.
Whatever.
I saw Vampires Suck, I think.
Oh, no. Wait, was Vampires Suck after Superhero Movie?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
It was?
In which case, Vampires Suck is also the last one that I saw.
That movie, you know, for what it was, wasn't actually awful, if that makes sense.
It was,
like, it was pretty terrible, but if you go in with low expectations, you'll be slightly pleasantly surprised.
I don't know why I paid money for that.
Pretty bad, too.
I think I paid for my friend to go see it, too, with me.
Oh, man.
So I struck out twice.
Was it at least a girl?
No, it was a dude.
was about to say, did you strike out three times? But
nah, I put my hand on his butt. But
didn't you see movie 43?
Two strikeouts.
No, I saw that on Netflix.
Saw movie 43 on opening night, but that doesn't really. That's not the same people that make it.
No,
movie 43 is just a shitty movie.
Yeah, and it's also not the same brand of crap.
Yeah, it's not directly parodying anything.
It's not as good as crap. Okay, I'm not even going to say, because all it is just really terrible crap. And
I didn't hate movie 43, but I understand that it's a terrible movie.
It is
so bad. So does this mean that, so are we going to like have a movie review session of Haunted House 2?
Moving on. I guess kind of, jumping back and forth. I mentioned this before, we kind of hinted at this with social games. I'm a huge fan of stuff like Words with Friends. The one that I'm currently playing that I'm kind of big in with my friends is Quiz Up. I don't know if you feel folks say that.
I hear about it on Twitter. I don't know exactly what it is.
It's a trivia game. Basically, you get, I think it's 7 questions, and it's dependent on who answers correctly and who answers fastest. So every question is like a max of 10 points, and if you get all 7, I think they ask questions double, so I think the max.
Let me guess, it's like all pop culture stuff.
Well, yeah, there's categories and stuff like that.
Right. Can't you like the one you play it for? Is pop just...
Huh?
Can't you sign up to be in the specific categories? Isn't that right?
You pick the categories. I don't know if you can sign up to be in a specific.
Okay, no, that's what I meant.
Yeah, like you can go. There's video games. There's movies. There's math. There's history.
No one wants to do math.
I do math.
I'll do math. Math is awesome.
I think the ones that they have as my favorite is easy math, animation, video games, catching video games, and yeah. And
you say video games twice.
No, there's different categories of video games you can do, but there's multiple categories. You can do general video games, which is more modern stuff. You can do which is more like Nintendo, Master Systems, Atari era.
Yeah, all right, I got you.
Yeah.
You should have me play against you in the classic games and see if I get a single question right before you do.
Oh, yeah. No, quiz me Nintendo and see how bad I lose.
Yep. Master
Nintendo starts with what letter of the alphabet?
What's a Mario? What's a Zelda?
There are some questions like that. Some of the questions they give you are just, let's see if I can get a recent example. Some of the questions they give you are really kind of like, this is really dumb if you don't know it. Like once I had a question, the same category, it was like, what is the name of Seattle's baseball team or football team, such as the Mariners? And then it's like, the Mariners is the name of the team of which city? Like 3 questions today. I'm like, you just asked this.
Yeah, that's just a bad randomization algorithm though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mother.
But yeah, there are a ton of questions. It's really fun. And again, it's asynchronous, so you can play with friends.
Son of a bitch.
What are you cursing at?
The stupid golem thing in Robot Unicorn Attack 2.
That's a mobile game, right?
Yeah.
Fucking prick.
Relevant.
Okay, so here's an example of a question. Which of these game console systems feature wireless motion controllers which detect motion in 3 dimensions? What?
The NES.
Who and Wii?
Wii.
No, it's NES.
Yes, it's 3D in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Konami's
Yu-Gi-Oh! Can be described as what type of video game? Card game.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is not a video game.
Boxing, hockey. It is a video game.
No, man, no. Video games.
It's because it's more general trivia. It's not going to be specific.
You are not selling me on this game.
Yeah, not really.
I don't think you're selling me on it, trying to educate it.
I think you just want to beat all your friends in the video game section. That's why you play it.
Yeah,
it's just a power trip.
To be fair, this isn't me challenging them to video games. I actually don't challenge people to the categories. I know I would. It's kind of boring if that's the case.
Sure.
I won't challenge my fans to like James Bond or Batman trivia because that's kind of one-sided.
Oh, God, you killed me in Batman.
Which is why I do... Like, the classic video game stuff is actually somebody I know on Twitter who challenged me like 10 times in a row, and I think we split it like 5-5 or something like that. I always screw up with the last question. But yeah, stuff like that. There was a time I used to play dice with buddies. There was Scramble with Friends. There was Hanging with Friends. There was a lot of With Friends games. I mentioned Words with Friends. There was a bunch of other Words with Friends clones. There was one called Wordsmith where you can place it with four people instead of two, which made it a lot more interesting. Yeah, but again, a lot of these things, because, oh, what's the phrase, which is Jeopardy, or Wheel of Fortune, I guess. It's basically Hangman, whatever. But yeah, the problem with these, again, is they have a life, you know, a life shelf, and it's really dependent on when other people are playing it. So, like, once somebody gets bored with it, you just all stop playing. Like, there was one, there was, like, mini golf with friends or something like that. I was just off at that, so I stopped playing, so my friends don't play that anymore. And stuff like that. So, yeah, those are cool. The only problem with them, again, is that, one, you need friends. Well, I mean, that sounds terrible. One, you need friends around, so, like, you
can... No, that's definitely a problem.
Yes, it's always a problem.
That's the 24 ringtone.
Yes, it is. It's my
I know this.
My text message alert. But... Wow, I lost my train of thought. Because somebody just texted me a number.
Was it 5?
No.
The one's from Lost, the show that I've never watched.
He texted me a number.
Can I just say that this topic is going so on and off the rails that I'm constantly like switching back and forth between it because of how relevant it is? It's just it's flip-flopping all over the place, and it's throwing me off.
What are some of your favorite mobile games?
The only two mobile games I have on my phone, at least right now, are Flappy Bird, just because I don't care to delete it yet, and I just downloaded Plants vs. Zombies 2 the other day, because I realized that it's finally released on Android.
Mm. I remember that the lack of games coming to Android in any sort of timely manner is why I switched to Apple recently. I like my mobile games whenever they come out. I want to be a part of the conversation whenever there is one. And if you have an Android phone, you're never part of the conversation.
Is Flappy Bird on it? Well, I guess, was Flappy Bird on Android?
What's that?
I mean,
was
sure.
Flappy Bird on Android?
Yeah, I mean, I have an Android device and I have Flappy Bird.
Okay. No, because the people who I know apparently only play it on iPhone, so I wasn't sure if it was just like an exclusive thing or what.
Right.
No, there are some that are, but, I mean, and that's, like Sam said, that's one of the problems kind of having an Android phone, is because of how fragmented the market tends to be. Like, you get left behind for a long time, so you usually hear about how awesome this game is, and then you hope it comes, and by the time it does come, everybody's kind of moving on to the next big thing.
Or they, like, mess up the port somehow, or, like, it took forever for me to play Super Brothers. Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery? Yeah.
Yep.
Same game. Yes. That was a good one.
I'm partial to Angry Birds and those like Tempo Run games or the Adult Swim games.
I've pretty much gone through like Peggle is the most of my mobile game.
Yeah, I used to play Peggle hardcore.
So,
I used to play Plants vs. Zombies hardcore.
What is Peggle? Is it like a super bust move or whatever that PlayStation?
Plinko is what it is. Like, but they turned Plinko into more interactive kind of somehow.
Okay.
Plinko was superpowers. Power-ups, not superpowers. That was the word I was looking for. But go watch a video, and it'll explain it a lot better than I ever
and
could.
And really fancy show-mo when you almost get in that barrel at the very second.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And then awesome. Beethoven's Ninth whenever you clear a level.
It's just a silly game. It's made by PopCap, so, I mean, expect that sort of polish and silliness.
Okay. Yeah, PopCap used to be really good at that, and then they got bought by EA.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Which is actually what I wanted to talk about when I mentioned that I have Plants vs. Zombies 2. I haven't played it yet, but I watched reviews of it when it came out originally for iOS, because Plants vs. Zombies 1 is actually one of my favorite games, just in general, and I'm not a big mobile gamer at all. But I have Plants vs. Zombies 1 on almost every console that it's out for. That's how much I like it. But when PvZ 2 came out and I heard it was iOS exclusive, I already was kind of iffy about it because, I mean, it's the first PvZ game since EA bought them out, so and they took a lot of the team off of it, But it's really one of those games that suffered from the idea of, like, free-to-play because it's totally free-to-play and you can play it without in-game purchasing anything, but it really hinders the experience. They basically made the experience so that you have to replay levels, and it's just annoying if you want to play it that way. You basically, you have like a world map, sort of like the old school Super Mario games, And you go through the map, and you have to have so many stars, which are like rating stars, the same way that Angry Birds stars work.
Right.
And you can get 1 to 3 stars on each level, but to unlock the next level, you have to get so many stars. So you end up having to replay the game an awful lot, and it just becomes stale, and it turns it stale.
That's
mobile games that get in the way of you playing the game are the worst kinds of mobile games.
Well, that's just monetization in a sense that gets in the way of it, really.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess on the flip side, what is a good example of monetization to you, like one that doesn't get in the way?
Well, look at really successful AAA games that use monetization, like free-to-play games. If you look at most of the ones...
This isn't a AAA game podcast.
I mean, look at any free-to-play game on Steam, really. Team Fortress 2, I mean, granted, they started with a business model that was pay once first, but now they are free-to-play.
I think it's a more interesting question if you have to answer with a mobile game with a free-to-play monetization system that you like. Like, has there ever been one that you've been like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll give you money?
That's actually
have
really
you ever
point,
spent money
too.
On a free-to-play mobile game? Anybody in this group?
No.
Nope.
They pop ads like every couple levels or so, but I'm always just like, no.
Yep. I bought the Peggle DLC, but that doesn't really count because I paid for Peggle to begin with.
Okay. Just to be fair, I'm super cheap in general when it comes to mobile gaming. Sure. I have had an Android phone for, I think, 4 years, and I have spent less than $10 on the entire App Store.
Yeah, and Android phones are where you go to get free games. You just get them very late.
Yeah, either you get free games, or like if you're part of the Amazon App Store, they give you free games every day or free apps every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you look around, you can usually find something for free or for really, really cheap. Like when Amazon used to have Amazon and the Play Store had like 10-cent sales and stuff like that.
Mm.
Pick up the apps then, and you get anything vital then, even if you don't need it, like you might need it in the future.
Well, yep. My thing with microtransactions is like once I do that, I know I'm not going to come back from that. Like, I don't trust myself enough to be like, okay, I bought like one thing, but now I'm going to buy the next thing. I don't want to do that to my wallet.
It's very true. But, I mean, that's how they try and trick you. It's all about psychology at that point, too. At least in most AAA games.
They scare me away from mobile games. And I see microtransactions, I usually don't play that game anymore.
I will play the game, but I won't pay attention to it. I'm patient enough that if you have enough games, you can kind of wait out that time and things you impulse on you with another game. Mm-hmm. And if it has a really ludicrous one, I just won't play it.
Yeah, exactly. Like in PvZ2's case, I'm probably going to end up playing it just to experience it and get all the plants and then probably delete it or never go back to it just because I don't want to... I'm not paying money for it because I don't really want to support that sort of gameplay. And I'm kind of going against my own nature just by downloading it in the first place, but...
Well, I have no problem downloading it because, again, with Android, and so many of them are free, and I ought to free, you know, like, I don't mind trying it. Like, if there's something there that's worth investing in, like, not money wise, but investing time in, I'm all for it. But for the most part, I think something, like, this was up on IGN today that 2/3 of people who try free to play games quit them within a day. Yep. And that's really pretty much it. It's like, if it doesn't grab you in that first day, you have this hurdle, you have to wait, like, an hour or a day to play it again. People are just going to move on to the next thing.
Anyway, good way to call it.
So it hurts them as much as it helps them when they do book somebody who pays money for it.
It's very true, and it's about designing a game experience around that, where you have the game play and the game itself grab somebody within that first day so that they do come back, and they have more of a chance, obviously, if they're playing, they have more of a chance to spend money on it.
Yeah, I guess to kind of go back to Sam's question, which I think was mobile games you enjoy, I'm a fan of, like I said, most match 3 colors games, so I'm a huge fan of Drew. I'm a huge fan of Candy Crush, which I get crap for, especially when I sometimes say Candy Crush on Facebook, and it posts.
Why?
Sometimes posts when I compete at level. I'm up to like level 464.
Why?
And Crush Saga.
Why?
Because Candy Crush Saga is a perfect game to play when you're on the go. It's a game that you can play for 2 or 3 minutes.
But it's not a bad game. It just has a very, like... annoying monetization system.
Well, yeah, I think the half an hour they do for each life is just way too.
Well, I think I would have been into it if it weren't for two things. If people like didn't freaking spam me with it on Facebook every day, and if the creators were not such dicks about their property.
To be fair, like, I think they dropped the trademark.
Well, it's like, yeah, they did. But it's like, that entire thing really soured me on the game.
I I will give the game this much credit, and this is one of the practices that I out of free-to-play games do that I hate, is that you use up energy no matter what. With Candy Crush Saga, you'll use it if you end up not completing the stage. So if you complete a stage, you can keep going and going, and it's the same 5 lives. Instead of some games where it's like, oh, you played once, you succeeded, but we're still going to take energy because you played a stage. Right. And then it's like, it limits the amount you can play anyhow, no matter how good or bad you are.
That's actually a pretty good way to be. It rewards player skill as well as patience.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of the question, what's an example of a game that's done it really badly?
I could be in a minority with this one, but I didn't like The Simpsons Tapped Out.
I never played it, so.
Yeah.
I'm not actually familiar with it.
Yeah.
It's like a Simpsons town building game, but everything you do takes, like, you put a house down, it's like, come back in like an hour or buy this to speed up the process.
See, I just don't download those types of games. Like, I hear that they're bad from other people, and then I never bother.
I heard that was good from other people. I just don't have the patience for that. I wish I had my tablet next to me. That's another one.
I meant more stuff like Dungeon Keeper 2 or something like that.
Yeah, so yeah. What happened with that Dungeon Keeper reboot thing from EA? What'd they do with that?
Oh, I don't know what they did with it, but the backlash was...
Dude, that backlash was crazy.
It should have gotten more backlash like that, honestly, in the way that they locked it out and turned it into a purchasing game.
Yeah, but the people who are buying that game aren't the people who are reading websites like that.
It's very true. But it still should have gotten publicity just for EA's sake.
Yeah, it got publicity, but the people who are complaining about it are probably the people who aren't going to invest in a mobile game anyhow. So it's like the only reason they kind of took offense to it is because it was a beloved PC franchise that they probably, and this happens a lot when a company announced that they're taking one of their popular brands, one of their older brands, and put it into mobile. Like, I think it happened with Capcom and Breath of Fire. Like whenever you like somebody teasing an announcement, and it's like, oh, we're gonna port Final Fantasy to the iOS and stuff like that. People get upset at that, but you're not the market for it because you do have, I don't want to say standards, but that is what it is.
So you do want to say standards, you just...
I don't want to seem like a snob, but there is,
really?
You know, like, I listen to some podcasts and people talk about giving their kids little mobile games and stuff, and the reason for that is that it's good enough for their kid. They don't need anything else. It's good enough.
It makes the kids shut up and not bug them for a little while.
That's pretty much it. It's like, we don't necessarily need to raise them on quality. We just need to raise them on being quiet. Or like, oh, they can just turn it on themselves and they can play without bothering.
Pretty much why my sister has a phone, so that my mom got her phone back.
Yeah. So
That's another topic for another day, but yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's why a lot of like, licensed games are moving over there as well. Because it's harder to sell a $40 handheld game than it is to say, oh, there's Mickey Mouse, by, like, you know, like, there's always stories about a kid who accidentally unlocks their parents' phone and somehow spends hundreds of dollars on some app.
Yeah. Well, you've also got to think, I mean, just this is kind of off the topic of that particular scenario, but if you're selling not only a $40 game on that console, but the console itself, unless you already have the console, everyone's already got their phones. You already got that thing.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, because consoles are trying to compete with that with the like, digital shops, but as you said, you do need the consoles already, and it's really hard. And this is the same thing with mobile, but you have the device and you have that kind of, that social group that people talk about it on Twitter and Facebook, where with consoles, like, even if people talk about it, it's like, do I really want to spend $400 to play Fowl, or do I really want to pay $300 to play Shovel Knight, do I really want to spend $500 to play Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare?
No is the answer to that one.
Yeah. There are, what is it? Oh, damn, I was, Cartoon Network, actually, I think it is, or is it Toonami? They make pretty decent mobile games as well. There's one, I think, like Monsters Attack or something like that. Or I don't know, where you basically serve...
Adult Swim Games is what you're thinking of.
Yeah,
yes, they do make really good games.
Yes, the games are surprisingly good.
And some of them are just free, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think all of them go free after, like, I want to say about 4 to 6 months.
Okay.
And they might be ad-supported, which also helps.
Yeah. No, they're definitely ad-supported.
But yeah. I like them because they remind me of Flash games, but they're made very... it's like someone took a professional edge to Flash games, and it's almost nostalgic to me in a weird way because of that. Like, I played a ton of Flash games growing up in school and in class. Like, I'm assuming lots of people do. But, so, I'm not nostalgic for 16-bit games, and I never owned a Super Nintendo, but if you make something that feels like a Flash game, I go, well, I used to play stuff like this.
Oh, my gosh. You're just going to kill me with your taste in video games.
Yeah.
What'd I do?
Well, you've never played a Zelda game. So, I mean, you can go on what you haven't done.
Yeah, I did say that.
And he's never owned a Super Nintendo, which I guess Nintendo's actually older than you are.
Well, not to clarify, I own a Super Nintendo, but I did not own one growing up.
Okay, I was about to say, Super Nintendo is older than you. And
I have very visual evidence online that I own a Super Nintendo.
Oh, you do? That was your girlfriend. But I'm not going into that because that came across my timeline again this week.
Did it really?
Burn. Moving on.
I'm invading all y'all's lives. It's my plan. I'm going to take
yes,
the world someday.
The game I was thinking of was Monsters Ate My Condo, which is really fun.
I totally thought you were going to say condom, and that would have been a really funny also. Someone should just table that idea. Keep that for later, Adult Swim Games.
I don't think... Well, I guess they would do that.
That does remind me. I will say this much. Mobile games have come a long way, or these apps. I remember when it first started, you used to get really stupid stuff, like the Belch app and like the pee game.
Yes. Or like the gunshots and stuff like that.
Yeah. Actually, we've come to the point where they're actually making content and not just funny sound apps that somehow do well.
That's very true. Well, it's because we're also dealing with really powerful systems right now. I mean, the systems themselves, mobile phones, are not something that you can just scoff at as far as, like, graphic intensity anymore, at least.
Yeah, and that does bring me to another point. Not that this has had any type of feel to it whatsoever, but it reminds me that Amazon did announce Fire TV, and we have stuff like the Ouyao, and I have no idea what happened with the Shield.
What's the Shield?
The Shield is
NVIDIA's
like
thing.
Yeah, it was like the handheld that you could stream from your PC.
I must have missed this.
I have played both an Ouya and a Shield, so I can give you opinions on both of those.
How's the Shield? Well, start with the Ouya first.
The Ouya is absolute poop as far as a library goes. It just doesn't have a good and polished library. It's got a really bad quality control on the library, at least. There's like one or two games worth getting, and one of them is Towerfall, which is now out on PC.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Well, I know what I'm doing, right? Playing Towerfall, my imaginary friends, is the answer.
And what about NVIDIA Shield?
NVIDIA Shield, as far as controller, like, feel, it felt awesome holding it in my hands. And, like, the screen was small enough to feel compact, but big enough to, like, see what's going on and stuff. But it just didn't seem like the console itself had a purpose. The idea of the NVIDIA Shield was basically take... It was kind of like the Ouya, but, like, less so in a way. It's basically you stream games from your phone onto your TV to play mobile games on the big screen, which I don't know if there's a market for that.
That doesn't make
sense.
You
stream PC games onto your... See, I thought the NVIDIA Shield was, I guess, not, because you have it, but I must be thinking of something else. But it's the little thing that looks like a controller with a flip-out screen, and then it streams... games from your PC to that screen, so you can play like Skyrim on your NVIDIA Shield, theoretically, is the pitch that I
Yeah,
that
you
I
can
saw
do
somewhere.
Stuff like that, but it's also like a mobile platform. It runs Android games.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Because
so, like,
nobody talks about
it. I only demoed it at PAX last year, or 2 years ago, recently. And what I played was The Conduit, which is a Wii game originally, and it was kind of cool playing it, like, it looked exactly the same as the Wii, or at least really close to it, and it played pretty much the same, and that was cool, and it felt cool in my hands, but other than that, I was like, what's the use for this thing? And they sold it to me, or tried to sell it to me, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not really interested in that. And I was kind of thinking to myself, who is interested in that? Who's like, yeah, no, this is what I want to do, is to stream phone games onto my TV.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I guess that brings us to the Amazon Fire TV. Like, what is the market for that? Like, who is like, oh man, you know what, I've been playing like Angry Birds, and I really, really wanted to see it on my 50-inch TV.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
just buy, like, Angry Birds,
yeah,
the Angry Birds trilogy.
Even then, that's a bad idea because it does exist on consoles. But you get the idea. Like, Like, it's supposed to be this middle ground. Like, I think what they're doing with it as far as, like, they're trying to use, like, a multimedia platform as a Trojan horse of gaming. But, like, okay, you can stream Hulu, you can stream Netflix, you can do Amazon Instant Video and stuff like that. But gaming is separate, but it's not even built in because you still need to buy a $40 controller to use with it.
Mm. Oh, I own a Vita. Is that mobile gaming?
No.
Oh, no. I considered a Vita and a 3DS handheld gaming, which is pretty much the same thing. It's just a very tiny distinction.
It's just I never take it anywhere because I don't want to carry that giant thing in my pocket, so I end up using it less.
And that's why it's not mobile.
I haven't used my 3DS in months. I was on Twitter like a couple hours ago. I was wondering, like, why did I buy Pokemon?
See,
I haven't played it since it came out. I'm just like, why did I buy this?
So if you're wondering where that trail of thought came from, I saw Splunky was on sale on Steam and bought it, and that's now the, I think, third or fourth time I've paid for, no, I guess third platform that I bought Splunky on, but I bought my Vita so that I could have Splunky anywhere I went.
Sounds accurate. That sounds accurate of both the Splunky, Vitas, and Steam sales, actually, entirely.
You
buy it just to buy it?
Yep, I buy it. Yeah. See, the Steam version has daily challenges, and those aren't on the Vita version, so...
That was a little obnoxious, actually.
I call that the PlayStation Plus problem.
See, I had PlayStation Plus for years, and then, or not years, but about 8 or 9 months, and only downloaded one game with it, so never really used it.
I download anything that looks good, I played before.
I mean, literally, just kind of put all of it in your queue. Like, you might not want to play it,
I download it, and then, like, after a few weeks, I'll delete it. So I'll be like, whatever.
Yeah, but as long as you have it on your system, so that maybe in, like, maybe 2 years you're bored. Like, let me check out these.
It's like, maybe I'll play Arkham City in, like, 2025 when there's absolutely nothing else to play.
Yeah, I got that one on Steam sale, despite having already beaten it and gotten all the achievements on Xbox.
Yeah, I know. I've beaten it twice. I'm just like, you know what? It's free. I'll get it.
We will get back to that at another time. So, I guess since we're hitting the hour mark soon, is there any takeaway from mobile games? Like, where do you want to see them go in the future? What are they doing right? I'm not going to say what they're doing wrong. We're going to have to start this podcast over.
We've already said this whole podcast is what they're doing wrong. I think they need to explore the idea of further explore asynchronous multiplayer in a way that makes sense. In ways that make more sense, and the idea that everybody always has to be connected. So everybody can play multiplayer games with each other. Like, there are games that are doing it, but the games that are using asynchronous multiplayer right now aren't what you'd think of as normal video games, if that makes sense. Like, I want to see turn-based Civilization. Like, someone make a version of Civ 5 that I can play with my friend and send back and forth. Actually, did Civilization Revolution come out on phones?
I was going to mention that if you have a Surface, you can play Civ on tablets.
All right, so that's a no on that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Surfaces were that hated here. Jeez.
I don't have one.
Just something I'd ever get. Like, I don't hate that they exist. I just wouldn't ever. They don't.
I just wouldn't let my daughter have one.
I wouldn't let my daughter date one or bring one home.
Oh, God.
That came off a lot worse than I meant it to, but I'm sticking by my
Where are you from again?
South Texas. But as south as you can get in a day in the United States.
All right, so I think it would be... I kind of want to see how they handle, like, integrating with console games, or do you know what I mean? Like
the companion apps.
Yeah, companion apps. Like Destiny's supposed to have one. Watch Dogs is supposed to have one. Assassin's Creed has like their pirate game.
Yeah, but
I want to see like how that evolves, and if they eventually kind of make it into their own, like, not so much companion, but their own like sort of standalone, in addition to being a companion.
Well, I'm curious about that because didn't GTA 5 have one, and it was like where people played it a couple of times?
Yeah. Apparently, it was Toilet. With the iFruit app that we're talking about.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of games that have it. And,
I mean,
I mean, there are some novel uses for it. Like, I think we didn't talk about this. We didn't have a show last week. But like the Google April Fool's joke with the Pokemon.
Yeah.
That was an interesting use of it. It's different, but it's an app you already have, and it kind of dresses up in a fancy way instead of downloading something different.
I just say, actually, briefly, that Google Maps like tie-in, the April Fool's joke, I actually had friends of mine who were mad about that. Because
really?
They saw it, and I was like telling them, I was like, yeah, have you seen Google's April Fool's Day joke this year? And they said no. So I showed them, and I was like, you can go on Google Maps, you can find Pokemon in predetermined locations, you tap on them, you tap to capture them, and then it adds it to your like Pokedex of 150 Pokemon. And
how
they were like
mad about that.
They were mad because they're like, oh, you don't actually catch them, all you do is tap a button? That's so upsetting. And I was like, are you seriously mad about an April Fool's Day joke that somebody's doing for fun?
It still blows my mind that Nintendo
don't
bother...
have to have.
Like,
right?
Nintendo knows enough to partner with Google.
Well, I mean, there's two things about that. One is that, I've said this before, Nintendo's a very easy company to figure out with that. As long as you're not making money off of it, they don't care.
Yeah.
I need to start publicizing my Pokemon fan fiction.
Right.
Let's do Pokemon Smut. If you want an example of that, you got Project M. That's a huge Smash Brothers thing that nobody's charging for. Nintendo used that alone.
I love that. I played that all spring break. I was in Florida all spring break, and I played that every night.
But the minute you start charging for it, the minute they step in.
Yeah, that's true.
And the other thing is that Pokemon isn't actually... It's Nintendo, but Pokemon is held by a third-party company, so they
technically it's second party because it's owned by it's co-created by Creatures Inc. and blah blah blah.
The Pokemon company holds that. Well, basically, that's why Pokemon tends to be one of Nintendo's more open IPs. Like, I think there was Pokédex app on mobile stores, and it's the same reason why the Pokemon soundtrack is the only ones they were used on iTunes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's because another company handles that. So that's why that worked out.
They had to create the Pokemon company to become a middleman because of that exact reason, really.
Yeah.
So, what can we do? We need to create our own company.
Yeah, and it works out for them because Pokemon is one of their more viable brands. But yes, that was an interesting one. As far as mobile games, I want to see them expand in a direction beyond, like I said before, the big ones tend to be Endless Runners, puzzle games, and I think those are the two big ones. And it's, you know, I understand that they're trying to like shoehorn in console of games, like, you know, they try first person shooters and most of those don't work, they try platformers and most of them don't work. So, yeah, I want to see them try to, you know, like, do special genres and stuff like that. Like, there is an example of touch game working. I mean, like, Nintendo's done a lot of stuff with that on the DS. Stuff like Henry's Hatworth would be interesting. They've been ported over. The Ace Attorney games are pretty interesting. I think visual novels are a big thing that they could touch on, especially being that... I guess you'd have to find a way to make visual novels kind of easy to pick up and play for short burst as well. I think they're good in that they get people to game, and I think anytime people are gaming, I think anytime people are enjoying themselves with anything, it's a good time. And I think it does open up, you know, certain avenues. You know, Angry Birds has become a thing now. Cut the Rope was a thing for a bit. So, you know, it does expose people to new franchises. And we really don't get a lot of colorful franchises on the console space anymore, so it's nice to see them somewhere.
Very true. Very valid point.
Indeed.
So yeah, I think we are gonna start wrapping because it is way too late. So I believe this is the first episode since we've been on Stitcher, so you can check us out there, leave reviews. It's always appreciated. It doesn't matter how many stars it is, even though 5-6 is great. We're on iTunes as always soon because I don't even think Microsoft supports Zune anymore. But
no one does.
Hey, I still have it Zune. I'm old school like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm too cheap to upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
They are expensive, to be fair.
Well, no, that's the dude.
I'm talking about Apple.
It was the way you implied it was funny.
It's like, When's the last time they sold a Zune in stores? I bought a Zune and I tried to like get it replaced after it crapped out on me. I swear to God, I went to like 3 stores and checked online. No one had one.
Like, what's a Zune?
Did they just send you back a brick?
I think one of them looked at me quizzically. It's just like, where the fuck are you from? It's like, what the fuck's a Zune?
Yeah.
Well, there is one. Amazon will still sell you a quote unquote new Zune, apparently.
Yeah, well, Amazon does a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyhow, you can find us on Twitter.
Facebook. Or you can buy them used for $80.
Yeah,
that's the price that they were before.
They're $300 new.
No, what?
I'm not making this up. I don't know. I think the Zune Marketplace still kind of exists. It just got turned into the Microsoft Marketplace.
Yeah, it still exists. It's just they support it, but they don't support new. They don't upgrade it or anything.
Do you think there's Zune specific games?
That's a bad interface of the Zune. No.
Let's do the next podcast on Zune only mobile games.
Yeah, make that a short podcast. Like 10 minutes. Are there any? No. Okay. Bye.
Well, there are some, but I have some of my. Never mind.
Yeah,
no, go on, please.
it's stuff like Snake, and it's stuff like.
Snake is not a Zune exclusive.
I didn't say Zune. I don't think there's anything Zune exclusive. I mean, the thing has a wheel, and it has 2 buttons, and that's pretty much it. I wanted a button's back. So there's not a lot of games you can do with it.
Zune has touchscreen.
No, not the one not the original ones.
Oh, okay. I was about to say the new ones. I have an old Zune that doesn't, but somewhere. You know, I say have. I probably lost it years ago.
Stop saying they're new Zunes. That implies that they make more.
I was about to say, this is probably the time in Microsoft.
It supports up to 720p HD movies.
Oh, my God. Call the people who freaked out over Titanfall.
It has a 480 by 272 resolution.
Oh, that is a discussion for another day.
Definitely.
On those tiny-ass screens. I can't see anything.
Hey, it's the only thing I know that supports HD radio on a mobile device.
It's next-gen, y'all. Next-gen gaming is here.
This is the future. It's radio. It's radio, but in your pocket.
It's the future of the past, which makes it the present. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow.
I understand time travel now.
Anyhow.
DC Comics was right.
Are we not rapping here?
Are we?
Oh, yes. I'm ready to wrap. This is going nowhere fast.
The brakes broke a long time ago on this train. Let's keep the derail going. I just finished my Chinese food.
It
was good. What y'all have for dinner?
310 to Yuma.
Are you seeing that movie?
I haven't seen it. We just have it in
the house. Is it any good? Because I didn't like No Country for Old Men, and for some reason that's the same movie in my head.
I haven't seen either.
It's not the same movie.
It's definitely not the same movie. Not even close.
Westerns are always hard for me to recommend because they can be so slow at the beginning.
Are we going
to
rap?
We are!
Nah.
Rude.
But you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus at Nerds on the Rock.
MySpace.
Oh, Google Plus.
We have a good topic. You can find us on the website, nerdsontherocks.com.
Now you have 8.
There's 2 of them. Google's just really messed up. Because there's also, I have 3 YouTube accounts now from all the time. I kept on trying to merge them.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Now you have 13 and 8, respectively.
Oh, my God.
But yes, apparently you can find us on Google Plus. I'm not gonna bother trying to give away you folks' Twitter name because that always ends up badly, especially when we do spam.
Does it end badly?
Yes, because we always try to explain how Sam. He says it's pronounced how it's pronounced, and nobody knows how that's supposed to be spelled. But,
I know how to say mine. I know how to spell mine. Mine's just straightforward.
Yes, it's Gigglewatt.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who can't spell that is dumb.
He still doesn't get that one.
Oh my God.
We'll be back next week.
You son of a bitch.
Will we?
Whoa, this got really dark.
I'm going to destroy you.
Did I hear a wrestler died?
Okay, we're done. We're out of here.
Oh, God, too far.